Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we really are going to transcend what we believe about the world, what we believe about our lives, and we're going to be the architects and the creators. This is March 12th, 2024, and my guest today is the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. Always glad to have Mo on the show with me. And there's lots to talk about because as we look forward, we're looking towards that sun moving into Aries, which of course is the spring equinox. So I know Mo always has a lot of thoughts about that. So we could talk about that, but there's other things going on too. So before we get the show started though, it is 12 day. So as soon as I get off the radio, you know, finish this podcast and then get everything, you know, loaded up to the website, et cetera, I will be on 12listen.com. So if you want to find me today and you want to talk about anything that we're talking about on the show today or anything else going on in your life, please come find me on 12listen.com. And also, just like many of my colleagues, I do have a special 12-day time-based session. I think the one I put up is 20 minutes. So if you want to come find that, that'd be great too, because it's on sale. And one of the really wonderful things is that you can buy those time-based sessions like on sale today and then use them whenever you want. They never expire. So I'm not encouraging you to hold them on, you know, hold on to them forever. But, you know, a lot of times you say, hey, I'd love to participate in 12 day, but I'm not available. So you can use those whenever you want. So come find me and my colleagues over on 12listen.com. And then, you know, and keep it tuned to 12 Radio as well for all the inspiration that you'll find coming up today. And by the way, here's another announcement. Usually Kelly and I are together on the second week of the month, but we did decide because it was 12 day that we would postpone that till next week. So I will be with Kelly for the Meeting of the Minds on her show next week. It'll be a double header. You'll hear me twice. So that's the announcements, I think. And then so the other thing I'd like to mention, though, as we look at the cosmic dance coming up for this week, you know, as I wrote in the Power Peak, it seems kind of like a quiet week, and yet not so quiet as you might think. And the reason is because I'll tell you what really grabbed my eye. I mean, there is good stuff like Venus moved into Pisces. So already I could feel that yesterday as that was happening, because, you know, just this sense of, you know, a few people moving into what I consider a more compassionate and forgiving mode. You know, even myself, I found myself saying things and I thought, ooh, where did that come from? In fact, I was in a conversation with somebody and I said something and that person said, I'm really glad to hear you feel that way. And so I realized he was thinking I didn't feel that way, and he was probably right. But I could feel that Venus just saying, you know, this is a time to really look at, in a sense, what we have in common, you know, and it doesn't mean that every single person is always going to be in our lives or that we're going to overlook or, you know, or put ourselves in jeopardy. That's not what I think compassion and empathy and forgiveness is about. But it is just not intentionally excluding people, especially when it comes to your feelings or your heart. You know, you can allow people to live their lives. We don't have to judge them. We can let them have their own curriculum. So I think with that Venus moving into Pisces, I could already feel it yesterday. Stuff was happening. But one of the things going on today, and this started going on last night, it's an intriguing thing. And that is that the moon is in Aries. And of course, the moon only stays in Aries for 2.5 days. But while it's there, what it did is it connected with Chiron, which is the wounded healer. And it also connected with the north node of the moon. They're all in the western system. All of those three are sitting at 17 degrees of Aries. Now, of course, the moon moves on really quickly, but I just find it very intriguing that they all got activated together. Now, see, maybe that has to do with my feeling, you know, last night and even this morning that people are feeling a little more compassionate, or we're just looking at ourselves a different way. You know, something's going on there. And so I thought, you know, Mo may even want to talk about the north and south nodes as well. But that's something that's going on today. So I just think pay attention. That's, you know, that's a big deal. Even if you don't, you know, astrology or you're not trying to read into exactly what's going on, pay attention. Just be the observer in your life and see what's going on. Because, you know, oftentimes we don't really know exactly what to do to change our lives or to be different, but we can decide that we don't like the way it's going right now, or we can decide we do like the way it's going right now. So sometimes it's just awareness that is the biggest factor in really taking charge of your life. So that's what I would encourage you to do. And then coming up this weekend on Sunday, we also have the sun coming into connection with Neptune. Talk about Pisces energy. That's just an incredible, like, woo, you know, and that Pisces, of course, is the planet of transcendence. And so that just kind of keeps that movement, you know, the Venus in Pisces and the whole Pisces thing. We're still in very many ways awash in Pisces energy before we get to that spring equinox, which is coming up. So with that, keep those things in mind. If you want more details, please, you know, read Mark's Power Peak, which is available. If you don't get it automatically by subscription, which is free, then go over to 12listen.com, click on the link, and you can get that delivered to your mailbox every Saturday night. All right, your e-mailbox. So check that out for more details and for other articles that are in there, especially articles by Mo and some of my other colleagues. So on that note, Mo, are you with me today?
I'm right here. Can you hear
me? All right. So did you hear anything you wanted to talk about in there? North and South nodes,
lots
or
of stuff.
The equinox, or, you know, what's going on for you?
Well, first of all, hi. Secondly, you know, it's going to be, we're going to experience the total eclipse of the sun before you and I get to talk again.
Oh, you know, that was actually in my notes too. I want to go there. We can go there.
Well, it's just a thing, and it's going to be just a mass of energy, and one that I'm going to avoid. But I say that it's, there's not going to be enough. I have to be honest. If it were going over my house, there's not a chance in the world I would avoid it. I'm guessing, since I am getting on in my years and I've never seen one. But I was talking to my brother the other day, and he lives in Texas, and it's going to be going right over his house. I imagine he's not going to miss it, you know. But I said, I don't advise it. He said, because for spiritual reasons, when you think about Stonehenge and you think about all the other observatories that seem just hell-bent for leather to try and figure out when the equinoxes occurred, the question is why? Why did they do that? And I've come to the conclusion, and I may be completely wrong, that they didn't want to be stuck out in one because they just didn't like the idea. And so, in my opinion, that the whole point was not to be subjected to an equinox. So I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but, I'm just saying, I'm not going to, I'm just going to hunker down, but it's a pretty massive amount of energy there. But let's do the eclipse.
Yes, and the eclipse, by the way, there is a series of eclipses. So what's going to happen on March 25th, just so people can get these on your calendar if you don't already. On March 25th, there is going to be a full moon lunar eclipse.
Right.
Now, that's going to be at 5 Libra.
Yeah, and that's a penumbral eclipse, I believe.
Okay, and you can explain that to the audience.
But then penumbral eclipse is, it's where the moon goes into the shadow, but not the complete. It's not going to be a total eclipse. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the outer shadow of the, it's not spectacular.
Okay, and then the new moon solar eclipse that will be 2 weeks later is on April 8th. At 19 Aries.
Right. Well, okay. Yes, in the Western system.
Well, right. in the Western system, that's right.
Right.
So go ahead, take it away, Mo.
Well, I don't know what there is to take away other than it's just going to be, there's so much happening here. It's really kind of intimidating when you think about what's happening in the sky. I mean, it is powerful. This is the type of thing that astrologers were employed by their employers for thousands of years ago. This is when, I mean, they were always supposed to be busy, right? They were always like, oh, astrologers, tell us what's happening. But when stuff like this began to happen, especially around this time of year, when the equinoxes occurred, the cross quarter days were important. But when you had an pretty close to a total eclipse, pardon me, they really wanted to know what was going on and how it was going to impact everyone. So that's where we were supposed to be able to earn our keep, if you would. So the eclipse or the equinox is going to happen on the 19th. And that's going to happen at, well, around these here parts, it's going to happen at, I think, 9:06 Mountain Time, something like that, PM, 2106. So that's your time. That'll be, what, 8:06? Is that about
Yeah,
right?
it's just looking. It is 806 Pacific.
Right. So you can all adjust accordingly wherever you live. And so what that means is that in the Vedic system now, it's very different. Why don't you tell them where everything will be in the Western system? Because I don't want to confuse people.
Okay, and when you say everything, you're talking about the sun? I mean, the
Talking
sun,
about,
go
well,
ahead.
in the Vedic system, you've got Mercury, the North Node, and the Sun in Pisces. Now that's why I didn't want to mention these
Oh,
things.
okay, I see where you're going. Okay.
Yeah. Because it can be kind of confusing.
Yes.
But the whole point is that it's, and then you've got Saturn, Venus, and Mars are in Aquarius, and you've got Jupiter in Aries. And so it's going to be kind of packed, and the moon is going to be in Cancer, in her own house, which I find to be, and that'll be the same in the Western system. She'll be in Cancer in the West as well. And I like that. And the reason I like that, and of course, Jupiter's going to be in Taurus in the West. So I like that too, because it's a good place for Jupiter to be, in my opinion. But this equinox has a lot of power behind it, a lot of strength behind it, especially because the moon will be in her own house. But there are some things about the moon in her own house that to me, because in Tarot, the moon in Cancer is the luxury card. And yeah, oh yeah, the moon in Cancer is luxury. So there's a potential for not acting. You have to. So, and this is not a time for us to sit back and be take anything for granted, right? I think you'd agree with that, especially when it comes to the way things are politically in this country right now. I think that this is a time to get up and do things, not to just sit back and go, la-di-da, everything's fine, at least that's my opinion. I think that we have to be ready to move forward and be proactive, and that includes real life as well. Real
Real
life,
life, yes.
whatever that means, right? So for me, this equinox has got a lot of power behind it because the planets are all jammed up in
Oh,
one
they are.
part of the zodiac. Right. I mean, they are in any way you look at it, right? So you've got Mars and Venus and Saturn and the Sun and the North Node and Mercury and Jupiter all jammed up with three signs, right?
Yes. And in
Now
fact,
that's, yeah.
I was telling somebody else, I said I wanted to show them the chart for today because that's exactly what's going on. And so people can picture it. We've in the Western system, like on the equinox, we have Pluto and Mars in Aquarius. And then in the sign next door, we have Venus, Saturn, and Neptune, all in Pisces. And then right next to that, the Sun in Aries, the North Node, Mercury and Chiron. And then right next to that is Jupiter and Uranus. So they are just all lined up in what is that? One, two, three, four signs. That's it.
Right.
Four signs of the zodiac. All the celestial bodies that we usually talk about, they are all in a string in only four signs all together.
Right. Reminds me of a freight train.
Yes, you know? Yes, it does.
I mean, it really is something. And there is a, to me, it's a powerful amount of energy in one place. It makes it sign, well, not sign heavy, but there's a, it's like there's an imperative there, and we should really pay attention to it, I think. And the question is to decipher it, to say, what's going on here? How do we look at this? And I think it's bigger than us. I think it's just saying, well, how does this affect me? Well, of course, it's always, how does it affect me? You know, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about. That's what life's all about, trying to decipher it. I've been doing a lot of work and research with the I Ching lately. And that's ultimately kind of, you go, oh, well, how does this affect me? But at the same time, it's a lot of fun to say, how does it affect everybody? You know?
Right.
And that's good too. But so we look at this and say, now, where is all this going to happen with the solar eclipse? Because I look at the fact that we had a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse back in 2017. And that left some skid marks on this country and on the world, I think. These solar eclipses are not as rare as people make them out to be, but they're not that, you know, common either. But
yeah,
it really did leave, you know, after 3 years later, well, actually 2 years later, it was 17, and in 19, kaboom, you know, COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then things kind of went, and luckily we're kind of through all that. It's still with us, but now it's manageable. If people do what they need to do, and I won't get into that, you know, because there's still things happening. But if we look forward, does that cover the equinox to some extent?
Yeah. Actually, I want you to say a little bit more, but yeah.
Let me say about the moon in Cancer. I think that's kind of an important aspect, because the moon is way out ahead of all these planets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the moon is way ahead. So it's kind of like a scout in some ways.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's not in those four signs.
That's right. And it's in its own house. And it's like saying, okay, I'm not going to hang with you guys. I'm way out ahead. And the moon is a representation of consciousness in many ways. It's the mind. And it can represent, a lot of things. But we look at the moon, and it is going to be waxing at that time. Waxing on, waxing off, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this idea of the moon kind of reaching out, searching for something. So I think when we look at what's going to happen on the equinox, it's a time to say, what is it that I want to do? What is it that I'm seeking? What is it that I'm looking for? What am I really searching for in the world? Because on April 1st, April Fool's Day, will be the full moon. And I like it when things like that happen. You know, on April Fool's Day, when I was about 34, I almost died of double pneumonia. And I found that to be a wonderful little joke on me. You know, I was admitted into the hospital. Almost died of double pneumonia. And I had a little laugh about that, because I thought, oh, I'll remember this forever. So you, and not that that's not meant to be facetious. I just always look at the world that way and say, oh, I'll remember this. I was the little fool there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so on this April Fool's Day, when you go outside, if it's the weather allows, take a look at the moon and say, here's this great big full moon and this face in it that I think is a very friendly face, and say to yourself, what is it that I need to know on this full moon? But start asking the question now, as the moon is getting fuller, especially on the equinox, on the vernal equinox, and just say, what is it that I'm seeking? I'm pulling away from this mass of planets. I'm ahead of the train. I'm seeking something. I'm looking for something. That's what I see. I'm in my own house, but I'll be pulling away very quickly. Because like you said, the moon only stays in a sign for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, but you know, for clarification and just to make sure that I'm correct, we have a full moon on the 25th, which is the lunar eclipse, the 25th of March. So the full moon.
Oh, what am I looking at? I must have looked at the wrong thing.
First itself, that moon is waning towards the new.
Then I looked at the wrong. Forget what I said.
Okay.
I looked at the wrong thing.
But still good advice. For instance, there was a tiny, tiny, tiny little crescent moon last night, and it was so gorgeous. I'm always an advocate of watching where the moon is and just appreciating it and just seeing it and just being aware of it. But yeah, on the 1st of April, it's a waning moon moving toward.
Oh, then what am I looking at? I have a thing that I put the moon phases on. What did I put on April 1st, the full moon for? I have no idea what I did. That was a mistake.
Well, you know what, though? You know what's interesting is that Mercury goes retrograde that day.
Maybe that's what I did. I just did the wrong thing.
It's a little Mercury retrograde trick is what that was.
Yeah, no, that's what I did. I did something stupid, but that's all right. I do know that the new moon is on the 10th, unless I'm completely insane. Which might be. I'm a little half.
Well, the new moon, anyway. The new moon solar eclipse is the 8th of April. That is the solar eclipse on the 8th.
Okay. Well, I was at looking
least at on
the
my Western
10th
calendar
of this month.
And I know, with Vedic things are a little bit different.
Well, something must be coming on April 1st because I definitely marked it as very important. Maybe it's just the date of the day I almost died.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That was close. I was very close. I was down to like 54% oxygen level, and that was a bad time, a very bad time. But I made it.
Well, and we are all glad you did. It must be that Scorpio moon of yours. You recreated yourself.
Actually,
you know,
that
have Scorpio, they have a way of having those life and death experiences and just recreating themselves and coming back.
Actually, CA, I am fond of saying that death has been perched on my shoulder for much of my life because I've had many such scrapes and I've survived them, and one day I won't. But until then, I'm quite amazingly still here.
Yes.
I was actually picked up hitchhiking by a serial killer, and I made it through that too. So that's another story.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. But here, yeah. I do have a question about the equinox. When you look at it, since it's the chart for the sun moving into Aries, the very first sign of the zodiac, do you see it as indicative of kind of the beginning of the new astrological year and predictive of what goes on for that year? Do you read it that way, or do you just kind of let it be the sun in Aries?
Of course, it isn't the sun in Aries anymore, you know.
Well,
Because it isn't. The reason I say that is because of the precession of the equinox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the vernal equinox takes place at approximately, about 5 degrees and 23 minutes of Pisces.
Right.
And so it's a very different conversation now. It used to be in Aries. It used to be in Taurus once upon a time. But now, and eventually, it will be in Aquarius. And when it happens in Aquarius, we will have entered the Aquarian age.
Yeah.
But
Mo is talking about for many people that, and I know we've got somebody new to the show today in the Facebook posting said that, thank you and welcome. But Mo practices Vedic astrology, but it's also sometimes almost, you might think about it, the difference between astronomy and astrology.
Right,
when he
right,
says
right.
It's not actually there, he's correct. The tropical system, the Western astrology system, does not match perfectly with the astronomy of where the planets are. And I can't tell you exactly why that is, but you know, you don't have to look back too far to realize just a week or so ago, we added a day to the calendar because our system for measuring how long the Earth takes to go around the sun isn't reflected perfectly in our calendar. And then we have daylight savings time, so we change the clock. So right. Mankind has this this way of trying to manipulate the universe. It has very little to do with what the universe is doing.
Right. It has to do with the rotation of the Earth on its axis.
Yeah.
And the correction of time. But it also has to do with the fact that, it just is the, it's very complicated. If people go to my YouTube page, which is just go to YouTube, put in my name, Mo Abdelbaki, which is not easy, but you'll find it if you go just, or just go in and put in precession of the equinox, and you should find me there. I have a really kind of lengthy, animated sort of thing that explains all of this in detail. And it tells all about why the difference, why we have the precession of the equinox and why it's different now than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But so no, I don't view it really as
the beginning of the astrological year.
No, not at all.
Okay, well then, okay, but before you leave it, because this applies also to the eclipses coming up. We are in a period right now where we have all these planets just grouped together. And in fact, when we get to the eclipse, we've got a similar thing. You know, but then it's really heavy Aries energy. So
right.
When you say locomotive.
I should say what it is. It is the point where the sun goes exactly east. It rises in the east.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important.
Okay.
Because it goes north of that eastern point, and that makes for, it goes south rather, and then that makes for shorter days. And so when it goes east, then it can go northerly of that, and then we have longer days. So mm-hmm. It really is very important. That eastern point is extremely important when it comes to our seasons. So it really is about, it is very important for our seasons, and it actually is kind of the beginning of a new year. So I'll say that, yeah.
Okay, all right. So about the shape of the locomotive though, because once again, we've got this going on for quite a while. And when we hit the eclipse, then we've got the heaviness is in Aries, because we'll have Venus, North Node, Chiron, Sun, Mercury, and even the Moon, I think, at the time of the eclipse. You know, I mean, because, yeah, obviously the Moon's in Aries. So we've got still that configuration where all the planets are lined up in four signs. So when you see that locomotive or that train or that visual of all the planets lined up, what does it make you think? Or what do you think part of the message is for us as we look at that?
Well, let me get back to that. That's a good question. I bopped ahead too far. Yeah. On the 8th of April, man, that is going to be a packed.
Yeah, it is.
That's really something. And Mercury will be retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It reminds me of a snowball. Gigantic snowball.
Well, see, and in the Western system, Chiron, Sun, and Moon will all be at 19 degrees of Aries.
Yeah.
So, you know, and when you think about Aries, I mean, there again, you may want to talk about Aries a little bit. You know, Aries is that courageous, person or energy that says, I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to break out. I'm willing to try something new. I want you to come along with me. I want you to follow me. But if you don't, I'm off. I'm gone. I'm doing this. And it's, you know, it's ruled by Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Now, in the Vedic system, Mercury will be retrograde at 0 degrees of Aries that day.
Ooh.
Yeah. Jupiter at 24. Isn't that fascinating? 0 degrees. Like on a tightrope.
Yes.
Walking the line. Well, all that Aries, you know, and of course in Vedic, it's all going to be in Pisces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all Jupiter ruled. Fascinating. And it's Rahu again, the North Node. Huh. Mars lagging behind. That speaks of the wars going on, actually.
Does it?
It does, unfortunately. Mars behind Saturn.
Mm-hmm. And very close to Saturn.
Yeah,
just very, very degrees, close to you,
a degree and a half, really, just about, you know. Anyway, so yeah, that Aries, and Aries, of course, is about that in that impetuous energy, you know,
mm-hmm.
that. Wow. Do you see peace in that yourself, that eclipse?
I know.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see that. I do see, though, you know, I'm not sure I want to say personal responsibility, because that's not usually something I associate with Aries. But on the other hand, maybe a little bit of that with the Saturn and Mars in the Western system sitting in Pisces. But what I see with all that Aries is people really being willing to kind of strike out on something that maybe they've wanted to do for a long time, or that they felt was necessary. Just, you know, breaking away from the norm, breaking away from the crowd, taking something upon themselves and having the energy to do it, you know? And there again with Chiron, I see Chiron as certainly our doubts and fears, but I see it as the opportunity. It's the healing path. And just taking charge of those doubts and fears and being willing to do something, being willing to walk, to run, to jump, to do something, instead of just going, oh, I don't like this and it's not working for me. Just, I'm going to try this. You know, I'm finally willing to kind of, you know what I kind of see visually as a bird leaving the nest. A bird taking flight. That's what it feels like to me, at least at this moment. And I say that because another visual may come to me, but just that idea that, you know, I'm willing to trust myself. I'm willing to go out of the nest. I'm willing to take charge and do this.
Yeah, it's very mobbed up. You know, it's just such a grouping of planets there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember, truthfully. I mean, it's been years since I remember seeing something like this.
Yeah, it's really just it's like almost like I'm hoping that whatever happens, that the sun will be like a watermelon seed pinched out between two fingers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the energy will not, that it will be something glorious and not something otherwise.
I'm but just, you know, on the other hand, this. Mo, you know what? I feel like, I don't know if I'm getting more philosophical, but you just realize all of those statements like there's nothing new under the sun and history repeats itself. You know, sometimes it's easy to kind of get into, oh my God, what's the world coming to? And it's like nothing that it's never done before, really.
Well, yeah, I don't feel dismal about it. I'm just trying to pinpoint something here. Because there's something there nagging at me, you know? It's just almost like I think this is the end of a cycle that started in 17. At least that's what I'm hoping. Almost like something that was swallowed. The sun was swallowed in 2017, and I think the sun is going to be disgorged this time, you see. So hopefully that which was swallowed before will be vomited up this time. Yeah.
What an image, Mo.
Well, that's what I'm seeing, you know. It's like because it could come out the tail, but it's not anywhere near the south node, because you talked about discussing the nodes, you know. And in the mythology of the north and south node, it's known in the west as the Caput Draconis and the Cauda Draconis, which is the head of the dragon and the tail of the dragon. And so it's the head of a demon and the tail of a demon are the north and south nodes. And all they really are sensitive points upon, not sensitive, there's nothing sensitive about them, but those are the points upon the ecliptic, which is the path of the sun, on the, you know, the sun takes throughout the year, that the moon crosses on its path throughout the month that goes north of that ecliptic and south of that ecliptic. The south, the moon follows a sine wave in the sky. And it's a lot of fun if you want to do it. It's actually quite amazing to do. My first year astronomy class in college, they made us go out and do this. You're getting up like at 2 and 3 in the morning to do it. It was no fun, but it was fascinating. And you triangulate the position of the moon against the stars, and you plot it out, and it's this huge sine wave in the sky. And it's like, wow, it does that every month. It goes way high and way low. If you've heard the moon is riding high or riding low, that's what it's about. And so that sine wave is the reason for a lot of the artwork that we have in the world, the waves. And anyway, I won't get into it, but that's the reason for a lot of the tides too, because the moon has that power because it rides high. Anyway, a lot of people say, oh, no, that, but it's the definitely the reason for much of the artwork that we have. So those nodes, the north node and the south node, are where that happens, and they move backwards in the, as you know, move backwards about every 18 months or so. Takes about 18 months for them to move backwards in a sign. And so the ancients believe them to be terrible places. You know? So if your planet was next to one, or you know, if you were born next to one, it could be bad. But in Vedic, they represent, for example, Rahu, which is the north node, represents the paternal grandfather. And can bring great amounts of money. So it's interesting in Vedic astrology that I've known billionaires, a couple of them, and those billionaires have a very prominently placed north node. But you'd think, well, that's a great thing to have, but what it represents is a challenge, a complete challenge. It can bring money. But money isn't necessarily a good thing in life, because it's not just about this incarnation. It's what are you going to do with it? Are you going to have anything after this incarnation? Are you going to have a life? Are you going to have a spiritual life afterwards? Are you going to go do things with it? For example, someone like Keanu Reeves, who is, you know, a remarkable human being. On top of being a very wealthy person and a very famous person, he has done remarkable things with his wealth, right?
Well,
As a
and
corp.
actually, I'm not familiar. What has he done?
Oh, for example, he was on the set of a movie, and he overheard a lady talking about how she was about to lose her house because she didn't have $20,000 that had to be, you know, had to be paid up right then and there. So he found out a few things about her, and he deposited that money I don't know how he found that out, but he got them $20,000 for it and made sure she had it that day, just like
Wow.
that. Sight unseen, just said, here's the money, pay for your house, and would not take no for an answer. He often will take 90% of his salary and put it back into a movie in order to pay other actors. He's been known to give away all the money that he has in a movie just to pay more money to people on the sets,
Oh.
I mean, he literally is, I think he's a very spiritual person, and he's not like other people, he does extremely charitable work. He played the Buddha in a movie about the Buddha. I think the movie was called Little Buddha, and I think it affected him deeply. There are good people in the world who do such things, but the question is, what do you do with the money you have? And so I've met some very, very wealthy people who have money, and they are really, really horribly unhappy and miserable inside. And that Rahu, that North Node, shows it, because they have not stepped up to the challenge of what it means to be rich. And so, and they don't listen. I've spoken to them about it. This is what this is about in your chart. You need to do this, and they don't pay attention. I could tell you stories, but I can't tell stories.
Well, and when you said prominent placement of a north node, like what would you consider a prominent placement? And I know there is a difference between the Western and the
Right.
Vedic
Second
system.
house, house of finances, you see. In Vedic, second house is very important, a very important financial house. That is one of the major ones right there. Eighth house can be finances as well, right? 10th house, of course, is house of career. If you have Rahu in the 10th house, that's can bring a huge amount of fame, but you have to, what are you going to do with it, right? So, and it can bring huge amount of fame, but if you don't use it for something to help mankind, it can also take you down and really badly. It also shows probably a famous father or grandfather, perhaps paternal grandfather. So yeah, and it's really wonderful to watch. I mean, I've been doing Vedic, I don't know, 30 some years now, 32 maybe. I, found out about it from, do you remember Mary McLean?
No, that
No, you
in
never met her? Yeah, it was back in the 12th house bookstore days, but she was doing it. I got it from her. It was quite infectious. It was really, I got hooked, But it's a wonderful, it kind of gets under your skin. But so that Rahu, that north node, is that head of the demon. It can bring material goods. Now, by the in the converse part of that, the other side of that tail of the dragon is spiritual, wildly spiritual, and it thrashes, and it's electrical, and it rules things like electrical wires and rope, and because it's a tail. I mean, it's just so symbolic, but it all is about spirituality. And so when you look at that south node, you say, well, where is that south node in someone's chart? And it can show you lots of things. It's kind of fun to watch. Now, in this case, since the north node will be, I guess, in the western, it'll all be in Aries, that south node will be in Libra, right? So we might look for that wildly thrashing tail, but also that spiritual side, that side to be in justice, we would hope, in fairness. So we might say, okay, hopefully there will be a more just side to things. Things will work out in a just way. I hope, and I hope You know me, I'm an eternal optimist, and I'm hoping for peace on this planet. I would love to see some of these horrific wars, these poor people who are children, and especially the children and the innocents and the civilians who are being, I mean, it's a drag. It's a bummer. I hate to be a bummer, but this is the reality of our world. And this is happening again. And like you said, there's nothing new under the sun. There hasn't been a time on this planet since King Solomon's time, supposedly, where there hasn't been war going on. This is the nature of human beings. And this is where we come in. People like you and me, because this we try to say, hey, there's got to be a better way. And that's where astrology and tarot and everything, we help people on a one-to-one basis, but we also, I think, say, it doesn't have to be this absolutely insane. Of course, they don't let people like us run the country. Maybe, you know.
That is right. Not the crazy people.
Yeah, they don't say, hey Mo, actually, well, I can't talk. But anyway,
And I don't want to be a pessimist. If anything, sometimes, I mean, truly saying that there's nothing new under the sun actually can be very life affirming to me, because instead of continuing to fight what you can't change, and it is just what you said, it's person to person. Peace will not be on this planet if you don't have peaceful people. That's where it starts. And we all can create that in ourselves. We can recognize it in ourselves. We can rec and it can be like ripples and waves that go out to influence. But we're never going to kind of correct over there. It's in here. It's not over there.
We have to be, you see, we have to be the light within ourselves. And then we have to shine it out as much as we can by shining it within ourselves, if that makes sense. We
Absolutely,
change
it
the
does.
world through ourselves. I believe that completely. I've seen it happen.
Well, see, and there
I've
again, all that Aries energy, even though I do see it as youthful and somewhat innocent, naive, it's also, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to wait around for somebody else to make me happy, to make me peaceful, to make something in my life work. I'm going to try it. And I mean, that's one thing I'm convinced of. If more people would just take responsibility for themselves, for making themselves happy, or for going after what they want instead of waiting for somebody else to do it, it would be a better world.
Right. And I believe firmly that we have to step up and speak up. We have to take action. I am a firm believer that this is a very important year in our history, the history of the world, the history of our country. I think that's a lot of what's happening. This conglomeration of planets, this solar eclipse. I think that it's all very important. And obviously, not to get political again, but a little political, there's a lot on the line with this election coming up. And I think people, they better vote, in my opinion. I don't think that, and I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say, I think just vote for whoever you believe in, but please do vote. That's all.
Make your voice heard. There again, step up and put your feet where your mouth is, I guess.
That's one way to talk.
But don't
That's
put
one way
those
to do
feet
it.
in the mouth.
That's right. But I think that that's what this whole year is about. That's what I was talking about the equinox. The moon is out there. The moon is away from the planets. It reminds me of a scout scouting the tracks. They used to do that. They'd send a hand cart out way ahead of the tracks to make sure that nothing had been sabotaged, you know? Because there was always someone who wanted to, you know, blow the tracks up so they could rob the train. And so, and that's an unpleasant thought, but the point is to make sure that you know, keep your mind open to the possibilities of your life. I'm always looking ahead to new things, and I'm always thinking, well, what am I going to, for example, I've designed a set of beads to wear around my neck that is a solar lunar calendar, and it can predict eclipses. And so I have to get it finished before the eclipse, because that's when I'm going to set it, you know?
Yes.
And I was going to set it by the October, I think it was October 14th lunar eclipse, but I didn't get it done. And so I thought, well, I should, if I do this right, I can, because I had it set. I made it before, but it was too complicated. And it was like, oh my God, why do I always overcomplicate everything? Obviously I do. And because you know me, I complicate everything, including, you know, the simple ones, the full moon.
Scorpio moon.
That's right. And so what I decide, I really need to get this thing done. I've got some time because, you know, it's not until April 8th, but I have to get this thing finished and get the bead strung and get there's counters on it. Not too complicated, but a little. So those are the types of things I like to do. And then I'll wear it. And then every day I'll be able to tell where the moon is, and I'll be able to tell, you know, when the next eclipses are, you know, more or less. Mm-hmm. And it's
yeah, you'll
kind
have
of
to post a picture of it so we can see it.
Yeah, it, you won't, and the thing is, people won't be able to tell that that's what it is. It'll look just like a set of hippie beads around my neck.
Right, right. You know?
But I will do that. I'll send you a picture of it.
Very intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a couple minutes left. Do you want to make any announcements or anything else you want to say?
Nah, I'm just, nothing much to say. Just thank you for having me. And everyone, be happy. This is an amazing thing, being alive. And I'm amazed I'm still alive. And I'm glad to be here and happy to be here this week. And you have a wonderful day.
Okay. Well, Mo, thank you so much for coming on. And you've certainly given us some things to think about. And yeah, everybody, there is a lot going on in the next, well, month or so. And I'm thinking one thing I've been kind of thinking a lot about is doing a show on those nodes, because I think they're really fascinating. I mean, for me personally, it may seem kind of odd, but when you look at astrology and people go, oh, I want to know about my sun sign, etc., you know, there's a few things that I really key in on. And because I just think they're so indicative of the patterns that we set and how our lives are shaped. And one of them is the nodes. I mean, I look at people's nodes, I look at their Chiron. You know, those are some of the things that I really look at, because I think, well, here again, sometimes the patterns, the unconscious patterns that we seem like we just can't get around, I think they have to do with Chiron and the nodes of the moon. And so when you, the better grasp you have of those things in your chart, just as a setup, this is the pattern, then you can look at the pattern and say, yeah, I like it, or no, I don't. I want to change it. I want to take advantage of this part, and I want to decrease that part. So yeah, let's do a show on that. Maybe we'll do it next week and just really looking at those. So it doesn't sound as sexy as talking about somebody's Mars or their Sun or their Venus, but those things I think in charts are very, very important to keep coming back to over and over and over again. Just like, you know, Mo said, that north node sitting in your chart can be very indicative of many of the patterns, or, you know, whether you'll be wealthy and what you'll do with that wealth, and maybe what kind of a person you're being called to be. So let's take a look at those in the next few weeks. All right. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel, for being here, and also for Mo Abdelbaki. Please stay tuned because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She is doing the show today. So we'll, we're going to do our joint show next week, but Kelly is doing her show today. So please join her. And please come find me on 12listen.com. I so appreciate that you are here today and join us in the chat room as well. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Really kind of check into that energy this afternoon. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.